Hello, welcome to the Twin Perspectives podcast series run by travel bloggers Twins That Travel. That's us,
Claire
and Laura.
Tune in for regular discussions about our latest travels, interviews and life more generally.
Happy listening.
Bye.
Hello, welcome to podcast 8 of the Twin Perspectives podcast series.
Today we're talking about our recent trip to Norwich in Norfolk in England.
Yeah, as part of our ambassadorship as Visit England
ambassadors.
Champions. I was going to think of another word.
So we went last week and we went for 2 nights. And so we thought, yeah, this needs to be a destination podcast this week, just ahead of Christmas.
Yeah, it was a good festive place to visit, but also I think generally all year round it's a good place to visit.
Yeah, I can imagine it's got its perks all year round, depending on when you go.
So I think we'll talk about this week, and then next week, it's Christmas, so we probably won't record anything.
No, it'll be the week after, won't it, that we do something?
Yeah, and we are going to start, our aim is to, and we'd like your feedback on this actually.
We have had some feedback already.
Yeah, but it was all negative.
Yeah, so I'm looking for some positive feedback here.
To start filming the podcast too, to offer another alternative medium through which to
listen,
absorb,
and watch.
Yeah.
And our friend suggested this, and we thought it was a bit of a strange idea to record a podcast to watch, but then he showed us some of them, and actually I loved it because you could use kind of visual prompts, which are quite handy when you talk about travel, actually.
Yeah, we can also then show some of the photography as we go along, so if we're not describing it quite right or not being articulate enough,
we'll just put a massive picture up at the screen.
Yeah, and it was a bit like Radio 1 do it. They film their,
and Radio 2,
and their shows, and you can watch them, and I weirdly got kind of really into it for a while.
Yeah, so that will be the week after next we'll start filming our podcasts. But this week Laura said that we weren't allowed to, and I'm really happy actually because I look quite scrappy today, so it's not the time.
Yeah,
it's not the time.
Let's start next week. So today, Norwich, Norfolk.
Norwich, Norfolk. What did we know about Norwich, Norfolk before going there?
Well, so I think this podcast will largely follow the blog post that I've just written on Norwich, which begins with the tale of our best friend, Catherine.
Catherine.
So when we were about...
No surname.
Well, no. She's changed her surname.
Yeah,
now, I know. But we met Catherine when we were about 8 or 9, and she appeared literally in our school one day.
I don't remember the day she arrived.
She was a ballerina and she had blonde hair, and naturally I was obsessed with her.
Uh-huh.
And we became really good friends. We spent 2 whole years together.
I don't even know how long we spent together. Maybe it was just a year.
Largely inside woods that bordered her house. We had these amazing dens.
Yeah, we built dens all day long.
And we put like scraps of paper inside them.
Notes?
Yeah, that I'm sure like 15 years later I found again.
You know when you've got those hazy memories of a child and you think, was that something, my imagination, did that actually happen? And I'm sure we stored food in the trunks of the trees as well.
I think we did. And also, I was thinking about this as I wrote the blog post, once I got down on my belly and crawled through some brambles.
Yeah, and that's where the homeless person lived.
And the homeless man was there.
Yeah.
But was he all?
No.
No, you know how childhood imaginations are crazy.
I think it was our imagination.
Isn't it funny? So anyway.
But if you went to see those brambles now, they're about a metre long and nothing. But in our mind, it was like going through Narnia.
It felt really scary. So anyway.
Anyway.
Catherine was with us for 2 years. And
she's not dead.
No. Well, what a 2 years it was. And then one day we were told that Catherine was leaving.
She was moving
she
to
was
Norwich.
Going to, yeah, she was moving to Norwich in Norfolk. And I had absolutely no idea where this place was.
No idea.
I had never heard of East Anglia.
No, all I knew is she wasn't going to be around to build dens anymore.
So the day she left, they brought with them some, it was like glasses from the Disney store, do you remember?
Yeah.
And they gave us her address, which was, and I won't say it all, but it was Stoke Hurley Cross, Norwich, Norfolk. And then she took off, and that was that. Catherine was gone from my life.
Yeah.
And left behind a vast hole. So my entire childhood, and actually adulthood, was based on the idea that Norwich was this place where Catherine had disappeared to.
And where she sent letters.
And where she sent her letters from. And these letters, I mean, granted Catherine was only 10 at the time.
Yeah.
They weren't hugely descriptive of the place. I mean,
I wonder where they are.
She didn't give a lot away about where she was.
No.
But all I remember is this set of photographs that she took when it snowed. Do you remember?
Yeah, of her house.
And there was a dog in the photograph.
Yeah.
She talked about the time she went to a cinema in the city. Oh, and she talked about her school a little bit. So my whole depiction for my entire life, and I feel like I kept a bit of a grudge against the city because Catherine had moved there and I wanted nothing to do with it because she'd left me. Yeah,
therefore I didn't even bother learning anything about it. I didn't even know where it was.
No, so my whole preconception of Norwich was a place where it snowed, there was a cinema.
And Stoke Holy Cross sounded very regal.
It all sounded very regal. But other than that, I had absolutely no idea about Norwich.
Until last week. So we set off in the afternoon, on Monday afternoon last week, and it was an incredibly easy drive. From our home in Milton Keynes, it took us, I think it was only 2 hours.
2 hours, yeah.
And it was just literally a straight road, ahoy there.
So the geography of East Anglia is notoriously flat. I mean, it's incredibly flat. Yeah, there's no hills, there's no mountains there. So all the roads are very straight and it's very easy to get into the city.
If you haven't got a car, you can go by train. From London, Liverpool Street, and the Greater Anglia trains run there regularly. And again, I think they're just under 2 hours. So yeah. If you live in London and you fancied a trip out to Norwich and then on to Norfolk Broads or something like that, then it's easy peasy to get to.
And also, actually, we found out whilst we were there that Norwich has an airport.
Yes, which is apparently an international airport because it flies to Schiphol. And then from Schiphol you can get, obviously, can connecting onwards. International flights.
I mean, if you are further afield, you can literally fly into Norwich.
Yeah.
Forget London.
Yeah, fly to Norwich.
So getting there was easy. We were there in about 2 hours.
Uh-huh, I have some Christmas songs playing.
We arrived at 5 p.m. and it was already
dark. To be
dark.
Exact.
Yeah, it was already dark.
So we stay, Visit Norwich arranged for us to stay in the most beautiful hotel called the Maid's Head Hotel.
Yes.
Which was reported in our itinerary to be the oldest hotel in the country. So obviously we're very excited, having visited Northumberland last time and the Towers of Ghost Stories, we're very excited to visit. Parts of the hotel actually date back to the 13th century, and according to Laura's blog post, it said that Queen Elizabeth I stayed there in 1587, because at the time, Norwich was the second largest city in England.
Which is weird, but I'm so sorry, Norwich, but it's kind of overshadowed really now by London, Manchester, Leeds, Bristol, biggest cities.
Milton Keynes?
No, Milton Keynes. It's not even a city.
We are a city. One day we shall be a city.
And so Norwich is always overlooked. So actually I found that fascinating that at one point, due to its textile trade, I think, Norwich was the second largest city in England, which explains actually, and as we'll come on to, why it has so much history inside it.
So yeah, we stayed at the Maid's Hotel, which is Maid's Head Hotel, which is a perfect place to stay if you're visiting. It's in the Cathedral Quarter, so it's like lined of cobbled streets and
alleyways,
and it's lovely. It's very, very kind of.
It's just also off Tombland, which I looked up because it sounded quite sinister. But actually, Tombland meant sort of vast space, so it was where the original marketplace was. And Tombland actually is really pretty. It's kind of got these tree-lined streets, these alleyways with like heavy timbers around them.
Yeah.
And they all look very, it looks very medieval.
Yeah, so our first impressions were very, very kind of chocolate box England, which we weren't expecting, I guess.
And I remember thinking if Catherine had driven through this when she first arrived, she must have been like, well, thank God I've left Milton Keynes. My first impressions were, wow, it was beautiful. As you come in, you obviously see the cathedral, which we'll come on to later, and bookending both ends of the city. At one end is this cathedral, and at the other end is this castle. So it's quite, it's quite a proud city. It's got, as you come in,
there's an awful lot going on for quite a small city.
Lots of fairy lights everywhere as well, which made it all the
more
pretty.
It's a bit like Oxford and Cambridge. It's very small, very old.
Well, it's what I wanted to say, it's very walkable because the whole city is split into quarters.
Yeah.
So there's like different quarters that you can move quite seamlessly through, and I thought, oh god, they'll be like 20 minutes apart, but they're about 5 minutes.
Yeah, we never got in our car, we just walked everywhere, didn't we?
Yeah, so that was very easy. So we checked in, and this hotel is beautiful.
Yeah.
So downstairs, the wine press restaurant is actually where the original stables were and where the courtyard was. So when the sort of carriages came through, ladies would be dropped off and they would go immediately up this flight of stairs into the hotel, so they didn't have to deal with any of the
faff,
and then the men would stable the horses. So that's actually where the restaurant is now. And then there's this oak panelled bar, which is really, really,
really cute,
nice,
isn't it?
Really nice. Again, it's medieval.
Yeah.
So that's really cosy. And I love a cosy hotel. I'm not really one for these minimalist modern hotels.
No, because half the time when you rock up to these modern minimalist hotels, and Laura and I are sharing a room together, they always have a glass door on the bathroom, which is just so inappropriate. I don't want to see Laura showering or going to the toilet.
No. And or at worst, it's like a shadow, and then you can just see someone hunched over the toilet.
A nude club.
When I went to Barcelona with Mike, my boyfriend, we had that. And he said, I look like Gollum on the toilet.
So, yeah, we do love a nice traditional hotel with a wooden door.
Yeah, so it was
the toilet.
Cozy, it was warm, it was historical. So everything I love. And we had a twin room with views right over the cathedral.
Yeah, we had the cathedral spire right in our window.
Yeah, which was gorgeous. So,
as soon as we arrived at the hotel, and then we went on our first trip, which was for something to eat, as usual.
Yeah, thinking about my belly.
Now I struggle with the name, is it?
Grosvenor.
Grosvenor Fish Bar.
So it sounds on the face of it, they sent you to a chippy.
Yeah, went and had fish and chips.
And as I talk about in my blog post, I ate scampi when I was young.
8, 9? On a Sunday?
And I was 12, actually. I ate scampi and then I was very unwell.
Uh-huh.
And so for this whole time, I've been really quite nervous about fish and chips. And when I smell the batter,
I feel funny.
So we began our walk up. So you walked up Elm Hill, which we'll talk about later, which is, again, gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And then up into the lanes, which again we'll talk about later, and it's kind of the independent creative shopping area. And there sits the Grosvenor Fish Bar. So I actually, funny enough, saw a clip that this was on the One Show on BBC.
Was it? I love the One Show.
It used to be an original chippy, and I think it has been for 90 years or something. Mm. And then American owner came and bought it, and he thought, and you know, as an American, I'm going to reinvent fish and chips for the English.
Oh, okay then.
But reinvent he did.
He did. And the menu was nothing like I've seen.
So the menu, I mean, you're used to your cod and chips. This is kind of like miso tuna rolls, 5 quid squid.
Sass bass,
the Big Mac, which is obviously battered mackerel. And then steamed options if you're feeling healthy.
Cod fish cheeks.
Yeah, they also had a toad in the hole. And they had a Christmas turkey dish as well.
And they also had your traditional ones.
They did. People. So it was already really different. And then it had lots of different dips. So like garlic mayo and peri peri and that sort of thing.
I'm so hungry.
But also just the way it was designed. So it wasn't just a fish bar, it was a restaurant. So you walked in and there was this huge pop art on the wall that said, "Oh, Brad, anything but the chips, but my chips."
Anything but my chips.
And then you go downstairs and they've actually kind of underground and all the sort of these subterranean
kind of like
tunnels.
Cellar kind of rooms.
Yeah, they've carved out a restaurant and it's covered in fairy lights and Union Jack bunting and it's very cool. So I say my blog post is actually a lot like London.
It felt very London-y.
Felt like Shoreditch. So we took our food down there.
Yeah.
We're surrounded by the university students because Norwich is a university town, and I always think that that's great because it gives it a real injection of kind of dynamism.
Fun, doesn't it? Yeah,
fun. So they were all there celebrating.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they bring a basket round of free tea cakes.
Tea cakes. So I don't know if Americans all know what tea cake is.
Oh, it's just like a bite of heaven.
It's like a chocolate bite, but inside is marshmallow. And then a crunchy biscuit base. So they're delicious anyway. So we had that and we were really, really full. And that was really just our first day at Norwich, was arriving and going back.
Yeah, but what did you think by that point then? You'd arrived and you'd eaten at the Grosvenor Bar. So what were you thinking at this point about Norwich?
I was thinking it was quite different already to what I thought it would be. It wasn't a sleepy kind of city where I imagined everyone wearing gilets and wellies and talking about the countryside.
Alternatively, for anyone who's watched Alan Partridge, and this may be lost in Americans, and I feel sorry for Norwich and we must blame what's his surname? For doing this. So in Alan Partridge, Norwich will forever be equated by this kind of cheesy, extremely uncool DJ.
Radio presenter.
And a really kind of bit of a backwards 1990s city.
Yeah. I did say a few quotes as I was going on.
So, but, you know, sitting in the Grosvenor Bar, I thought, oh my God, it's anything but.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's
quite
fun.
Creative and it was really fun.
Yeah.
And beautiful.
It was. On our first morning, the second day, we woke up to, I think it was the coldest temperatures in England for the year that they'd experienced for a year.
Much longer than that, a few years.
A few years.
Yeah.
So it was freezing, but obviously freezing temperatures in a city always make it look very festive and very pretty. So it was a double-edged sword.
And here. A death trap.
A death trap, because as usual, we had arrived in Converse trainers with nothing else.
No.
So it was a precarious health and safety risk type of day.
I had to put a tweet out about this.
Chilblains.
I'm suffering with chilblains, which sounds like I'm a Victorian, and you know, some of you may have to Google it.
No, but I've got terrible
chilblains. It's basically when your toes get cold, they warm up too quickly. They're so painful and swollen. So I also couldn't get my feet in my Converse.
No, she had like club feet.
So we off we go. We set off into a beautiful frosty Norwich. Mm. with me unable to walk and you sliding.
And me sliding, I was sort of hunched towards the ground because I've just got a fear of falling over on ice. But it looked beautiful. And the first stop was the Norwich Cathedral, which was like a 2-minute walk for us from our hotel.
A stone's throw. So you walk through the arch into the close.
The close, yeah.
Which is 44 acres around the cathedral, and it's got over 800 listed buildings. And then obviously at its heart is the cathedral. And there's also a school, actually, yeah.
Yeah, a very posh-looking school.
Very posh-looking school around there. So you walk into the close, and it was blue skies, like there's sort of icicles hanging everywhere, yeah. And frost. And there's this beautiful cathedral in front of you. So I had no idea, again, that Norwich had a cathedral.
Nope.
Did you?
Well, no, hang on. Doesn't any city in England have to have a cathedral? Yeah, that's why Milton Keynes can't get one.
Well, I don't
can't
know.
Can't get city status.
Well, I didn't know it was such a grand cathedral.
Oh, yeah. It was beautiful.
So it's actually the biggest, it's the biggest, second only to Salisbury Cathedral in England.
Built in 1096.
1096. So when I think about America, and I think about Americans, and you think that this cathedral actually has been there since 1096, that's nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So the Saxons, I think, originally cleared a spot for it, and it began work there.
And so we went, I think when you visit, you can go around for free, you make a donation, but the cloisters were what we really, really enjoyed.
Yeah.
So obviously within the middle of the cathedral are cloisters, a square, essentially.
With kind of these intricate vaulted ceilings and arches.
Yeah.
And
it looked a lot like Oxford colleges.
Yeah, but these are the biggest of their kind in England, cloisters. So they're kind of unparalleled, and they are covered in these, they call them bosses, but they're kind of like...
Yeah, when I was proofreading your blog post, I read bosses and I thought, does she mean bosses? I've never heard
of bosses. It's like a miniature sculpture, but they hang from the ceilings.
Yeah.
So it has over 1,200 of them, and they're all different colours, and they each one tells a different biblical story.
Oh, wow.
So they're really intricate, really beautiful. As we walked out, actually, we were the only people there.
Yeah, it was really quiet.
And the sun was shining through, and all the shadows of the cloisters were kind of reflecting everywhere, and it really is beautiful.
Yeah, so we've spent our first morning, most of our morning there, didn't we?
Yeah.
Being a bit cold.
Yeah, I had to walk around. And the cloisters actually used to house 1,000 Benedictine monks, so they lived there.
It sounds very similar to Northumberland Adventures, all of these talks of monks.
Of monks,
cloisters,
yeah.
And monasteries.
But it was at a different time, Claire.
I guess it's England, isn't it?
Yeah, so it was really, really nice. And it was a good way to start, I think, the city.
Introduction to the city, yeah.
And because this is obviously its cathedral quarter and its kind of medieval quarter, it was a good introduction to kind of the history of Norwich.
Yeah, yeah. So the next thing we did, we kept kind of within our historical patch, I guess.
Spectacular.
And we headed to the other side of the city, to Norwich Castle, which is also a museum, and it had a Rembrandt...
It's a gallery.
It had a Rembrandt exhibition on at the time.
Yeah.
And I love Rembrandt. So we had a peek around there, and then we went inside the castle. I think it's a place to definitely take kids. It's very kind of family-focused. The castle was built in 1067.
Again, old.
Yeah, and it became a museum in 1894.
Yeah, and it was never actually lived in by royalty. In fact, I think only one king, Henry I, paid like a fleeting visit. It was actually always just like a place where I think the peers lived and they had nice meals.
Yeah,
it
was mainly for the hall, wasn't it, to have the meals.
And they pranced around. And then it became a jail.
Yeah.
For a long time. And then eventually it became a museum. It was built in the 11th century by the Normans, who built, obviously, castles across northern France and then up the coast.
Yeah, there's
Hastings, and then it goes up further.
Yeah, so there's a couple of, it's basically the Norman conquest, and then they plopped these castles along the line as they came up from northern France, and the Norwich Castle is one of those.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, the castle's great, actually, and the Rembrandt is quite unexpected that a castle has a whole Rembrandt exhibition, but that was great.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And then the third kind of historical bit, I guess, that we went to see was, it was called the Strangers Hall Museum.
Yeah.
Which, first of all, completely threw me, because when we arrived, the same lady who was had been at the castle opened the door. It was like...
I know, she was like
moonlighting
the different
museums.
She's
gone under a tunnel and appeared in a different place. And it sounds very mystical and magical, but basically Strangers Hall's Museum is a huge house, and each room is kind of dedicated to a different era.
No, so basically, so Strangers Hall is a medieval building, and it's called Strangers Hall because it basically allowed refugees to come and stay at it. So the first refugees came from the Netherlands, and they were
there
fleeing as Protestants, and then later under Elizabeth, Protestant refugees came and stayed there and brought with them their weaving skills, which is where Norwich got all its textile skills from. So strangers' halls basically means strangers because they were from other countries or other cities. So it's a medieval building and it's quite famous in the city and it's stunning. It's so, I mean,
especially
it's
at Christmas.
It's huge. And then obviously, as Claire said, each room is themed to a different time. So you can walk around and go through the house through the centuries.
My favourite was the Victorian. You could see the Victorian dining hall, dining room, and the lounge. And they were decorated for Christmas how it would be for Victorian times. And apparently Victorians like to hoard. Yeah. So it was just absolutely bursting of
stuff.
Just stuff. And I loved that bit. That was probably my favourite part.
So it's really pretty. And I think the lady had said to us that every museum in Norwich gets to claim a certain season and that Strangers' Hall gets to claim Christmas.
Christmas, they did it best.
It does it really well. So, again, it's quite a famous house. I think all the mayors live there and weirdly a couple of grocers. Oh. But it's definitely worth seeing. It's just tucked away off one of the high streets.
Yeah. So they were our three cultural historical spots when we were staying in Norwich.
Yes.
And all three, for anyone who's visiting who's into that kind of the historical past, or you're visiting England, then I'd definitely suggest visiting those bits.
Yes.
However, I was about to say, Norwich isn't just about history.
Well, I was about to say that Norwich's tagline is a city of stories because it has so much history.
Yeah, so many stories. I mean, within Strangers' Hall itself, there were so many different stories.
Yeah, and the city is kind of bookended, like I said, by these two buildings from the 12th century. But then in the middle, it kind of then fast forwards to the medieval times, so all the streets are medieval.
Yeah.
And then other parts, it's very like 19th century industrial.
Yeah, so a real mishmash.
A mishmash, kind of like a collage of different historical periods.
Which I guess leads us to shopping in Norwich and our favourite spot in the city, which was probably most people's favourite spot in the city, and that's called Elm Hill in Norwich.
Voted one of the prettiest streets in England.
Yes. So it was about 5 minutes. It's just a 5 minute walk from our hotel, really. Yeah. And it's near Toonland. And despite a fire in 1507, the street has still got most of its medieval buildings, including one particular restaurant, which is still a thatched. It's one of the 15 buildings left in Norwich, which is thatched.
Thatched, yeah.
So it is, I guess, like a picture postcard England type scene that you would imagine.
Yeah, it reminded me of, if anyone's looked at Gold Hill
in Dorset.
In Dorset, in Salisbury.
Oh, Salisbury, yeah.
Shaftesbury. Yeah.
Shaftesbury and Salisbury in Dorset.
Yeah, and basically that's where the Haversads were filmed, which is the bread.
Oh, yeah, I forgot we went there.
And that's all cobbled. So it really reminds you of that because it's this cobbled street and all these medieval buildings which are painted like blue, pink, green.
Yeah.
And then underneath them, all these tiny little independent stores.
The cutest independent stores.
They're really sweet.
So there was a craft shop, a bear shop. So it was a teddy bear shop, basically.
Filled with bears.
Even in the window, the kind of the traditional glass windows, there was thousands of these little fluffy bears squished against the glass.
But I always think bears look so sad.
They did look a bit sad. I wanted to buy them all.
Yeah.
So there's all these independent shops along Elm Hill
as
well.
Dornan's book store as well, which is second hand.
Oh, I loved that
one. Which was really nice. And you go in, the little bell goes, and then you can just wander around in the warm.
Yeah. And at the top of the street is the Britain's Arms, which I was talking about, the thatched house. And it's owned by sisters Sue and Jilly, and it's a coffee house and restaurant, basically.
We met Sue, didn't we?
We met lovely Sue. We went in for some tea and cake to warm up from the cold.
Because it was so cold.
And there was a roaring fire in there, so it was so cosy. And that is definitely highly recommended as a kind of a cosy spot to go and have a cup of tea.
It's very famous, and I think it has lots of requests to be included in films and TV. So if you're looking for quintessential medieval England,
head to the Britain's Arms.
The Britain's Arms is your place. And also the cake was incredible.
And it was so cold outside, I just didn't want to
leave. Yeah, it's just a really nice quintessential English place to relax.
Yep, so Elm Hill has to be on your list when you're visiting Norwich, especially if you want that kind of Instagram-worthy shot of cobbled streets.
And also, actually, the shopping was good, so it's all sort of these independent
stores. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. I bought our niece's Christmas present on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Aside from Elm Hill, there's also the lanes, the famous lanes of Norwich.
Which, not to be confused with the lanes of Brighton.
I remembered that there was somewhere else that called the lanes, I couldn't remember.
So again, it's actually very similar. These lanes, and they're a set of alleyways that kind of meander around the city, and it's all medieval again. sort of championed for their creative and independent spirit.
Yeah, there's 300 independent retailers along the lanes.
Yeah, so lots of lovely stores, but also really cool like coffee places to go, restaurants. And we went to a coffee store called Biddy's.
Biddy's Kitchen.
Biddy's Kitchen, which is so cute. If we were filming this today, I could put up some photographs of it, but you'll just have to look at my blog post. And it's got all these different teas.
Yeah, it's a tea shop, really.
Or like 100 different types of tea.
Though I did have a hot chocolate.
Yeah, and then these kind of eclectic decorations everywhere.
Yeah, but I loved the lanes. I could have literally spent an entire day just shopping through the lanes.
Yeah, we went to a really nice antique store there as well, which was in that big hall.
Oh yeah, Gregory's. St. Gregory's Antique and Collectibles. Was it inside a church?
It was, I think, like a church hall thing, which was, again, if you do like that kind of thing, and I really like antiquing because I'm a geek, then definitely go there. And then there's
also... Did you buy stuffed little polar bears?
I bought two little stuffed polar bears.
Did they go on the tree?
No.
Oh, they just hang around a house?
Yeah. And then also there's really cool sort of artisan coffee shops around there as well, which again reminds me of that Shoreditch or sort of London
feel.
Do you
know what it also reminded me of? Amsterdam, the other month we were in Amsterdam, that you took me shopping across, did you call it the lanes as well?
They're called the Nine Streets.
The Nine Streets. It reminded me of Amsterdam's Nine Streets.
It does actually like that because I think of the cobbled streets and also the weather, it was a bit cold and dark, so it was all lit up.
Yeah, it was really cozy.
That was nice. So again, the lanes are an amazing place to not only eat, and you'll find lots of good places there. So we stopped at Saporito's,
which is a family-owned Italian restaurant, and
that's tucked on the lanes.
It's tucked away on the lanes, and inside it's kind of the complete opposite of kind of your cozy English. It had little blue
shutters
and flowers and Italian memorabilia.
Lots of people
and
pictures of people on Vespas.
Yeah, maybe you want to be in Italy.
And that's a really good place just to get a quick snack.
They slice of pizza.
Focaccia breads and not whole pizzas, but slices of pizza.
But they're very generously
sliced. They're huge. And just run by this lovely family and this lovely lady who served us.
Yeah, so we stopped there. And then the final shopping point, I guess, in Norwich is the Royal Arcade.
Yes, the Royal Arcade.
Which our dad had told us about, because our dad, when I reflect back on my dad, he claims to have lived everywhere and grown up everywhere.
Yeah, he lived everywhere before the age of five.
It's very strange, but he apparently lived and grew up for a while in King's Lynn, which isn't far from Norwich.
No.
And he was the one who said, you have to visit the Royal Arcade. And so we did.
Yeah, and it's said to be the prettiest covered shopping street in England.
And it was very pretty, especially with Christmas decorations.
Yeah, it is. So basically it's a street, but with this lovely sort of glass roof.
Yeah.
And then hanging from it, because it was Christmas, were all these letters to Father Christmas.
Yeah.
But it's actually just aesthetically, it's a really beautiful place to walk down.
Yeah. There was also a festive market in the middle of the...
Yes, so just outside the Royal Arcade is where all the markets are of the city. And obviously whilst we were there, it was all the Christmas markets.
Yeah, they were so cute.
And they were, you know, your normal kind of mulled wine stores.
So to think, like I did, that Norwich probably didn't have much going on, I imagined an ageing W.H. Smith's. But no, it actually reminded me of like Brighton's lanes, Amsterdam's lanes. It was independent.
Yeah.
Lots of kind of...
And I think that in the city there is now a fashion and textile college.
Yes, we went past it, didn't we?
Yeah, so there's like this sort of massive influx of creative sorts. And I think that comes across in all the coffee shops that are around and all the streets. So actually, I thought Norwich would be a bit flavourless.
Yeah, I did.
But it's not at all.
Turns out it's Milton Keynes that's flavourless.
Well, I've known that for a long
time. Catherine had escaped.
Yeah, and I think a theme of my blog post and a theme that I was thinking as I was walking around is that, why did Catherine never mention any of this in her letters?
No, because she didn't want to make us feel like crap.
Probably.
Probably. You'll have to ask her. Catherine, if you're listening, why did you never mention any of this?
Because in my blog post, I mentioned that actually the one thing I was proud of where I lived is Milton Keynes Shopping Centre, which is said to be the longest in Europe.
You get a really good workout if you go from the end of John Lewis all the way up to the new bit.
Yeah. So I thought, well, you know, Catherine's leaving, but at least she'll have a crappy retail experience. No. She's had absolutely a better one. So actually, I think if you're looking for somewhere to go shopping for a sort of a weekend shopping break, Norwich is
really good.
Yeah, it's a good alternative, actually.
In terms of eating, we ate a lot, as we always do on these trips. My favourite thing about the girls who organise our itineraries from Visit England is they always cram in the food for us.
And so much food.
They know us so well.
So on one morning, we'd had a huge breakfast at the hotel, and then within an hour we were already at the Britain's Arms eating
tea
cake.
And cake. Yeah,
it was great.
So the Britain's Arms we mentioned, and we mentioned the fish and chips, but there are a few other spots in the city that we really enjoyed in terms of eating. We had on our last day an alternative picnic, which might sound extreme considering it was like 2 degrees outside.
Well, I know. So when you look outside, it's 2 degrees, it's a bit damp, drizzling. It's frozen. What springs to mind?
Picnic!
Let's have a picnic.
Let's have a bloody picnic. So we actually had an Italian picnic.
A hamper.
It was picked up from Amaretto's Deli, and it had like little red berries, Christmas berries all around the
and
basket.
They put some ribbon
they
around
put it in
basket.
A proper basket, picnic basket. And then they said, we have a kind of collaboration with the Norwich Playhouse, yeah, which was just down the road. If you go down there, they'll give you a hot cider, yeah, blankets and
hot
water bottles, and you can sit on the bank of the river. So off we went with our little basket, like Red, yeah, Riding Hood.
So Norwich Playhouse, it's riverside, so it's obviously got amazing views. And then, I wish we had got to visit it as a theatre.
Yeah.
But it shows loads of different
productions.
Super creative productions, really cool productions. But on the side, it's also got this award-winning gardens.
Yeah.
So they overlook the river, but they've also got loads of art installations in them.
It was a very student-y spot.
Yes.
Lots of students, again, meeting there for their final kind of lunchtime
before
they went home.
And the bar as well is very cool.
Yeah. So we arrived with our little picnic basket. We settled down. They gave us some woolly blankets. Really, really, I forgot how good a hot water bottle is.
I know.
And when I smelt the smell of the hot water bottle, it kind of brought flashbacks to being like 7 reading Miss Tiggy Winkle.
Yeah, that's
Piggy Winkle.
Tiggy Winkle.
Tiggy Winkle. But actually, we were so snug. We weren't cold at all.
No, and the food from this deli
Amaretto's
was so good.
It was delicious.
We had like a couscous salad. We had a
cheese
and leek potato
That's
bake.
It.
We had brownies.
So hungry.
Lots of brownies. We had about 4 different types of cheeses.
Yeah. Oh, it was
And
good.
Then the hot cider, which I've never had hot cider before.
I've got an overwhelming urge this afternoon. Let's go and have a hot cider somewhere because it's so good.
What, back in Norwich?
No, not back in Norwich.
So it was great. And it was a little bit cold, but I think if you're looking for a bit of an alternative experience, go to Amaretto's, grab a basket full of food and take it down to the playhouse.
It was fun. I loved it. It was just something different. Then we also headed on the final night to the best bar in Norwich, Laura's called it in her blog post.
Well, I think it was.
And so it's a rooftop bar. It's called the Rooftop Gardens. And they are a rooftop bar and it overlooks the city, that the glittering lights
it's
of the city.
It's got a 360 degree view of Norwich.
Okay, you can see the cathedral from there.
Yes.
So you went up there and snuggled up and had 2 cocktails
I
each.
Had a Clear Royale and I had like an elderflower and vodka cocktail.
I had mainly gin-based cocktails.
Yeah, and then we had some halloumi chips as well.
Mm.
But this place, it's very, very cool and it's got
yeah,
lots
I guess
of...
rather than the cosiness of Norwich,
yeah,
this is quite different.
So we'd done the pubs, we'd done the cafes, whereas this was full of Tom, Dicks and lighting. And I think the
We're about to say it's full of Tom, Dicks and Harry's.
No, Tom, Dicks and lighting. Which, when we were talking about it, I was thinking, you don't know what Tom, Dicks and lighting
is. I have no idea what
Tom,
Dicks and lighting is. I'm not into that stuff.
But it's super cool. And then it's all glittery, sort of lots of well-heeled people there having
cocktails.
It's like
a place you'd go with your friends for cocktails and drinks where you dress up.
And even in the winter outside, they've got overhead heaters so you can go onto the terrace,
yeah,
and enjoy. And the food there actually looked great. We did eat there, but the food looked great. And it's just sort of, you know, one of those sparkly, glittery places.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, actually.
I did. And actually, when we were drinking our cocktails, we came up with loads of ideas for Twins and Travel, but we didn't write anything down. And now I can't remember them.
Didn't you write them on a napkin?
Oh, what?
We'll talk about this after. I think you wrote them on a napkin. But yeah, I really enjoyed that. I just felt underdressed. I did feel a bit underdressed.
Yes, because obviously everyone was looking, and it's Christmas, so everyone was all dressed up.
So yeah, if you're heading to the city and you're going with some friends and you want cocktails, head to the Rooftop Gardens.
Yes, and then after that, somehow we went on for more food. So we went to Namaste.
I can't tell you how hungry I am right now.
Namaste, which is a
vegetarian, vegan
Indian restaurant in Norwich. And I must admit, on the outside, it's a little underwhelming. You think, oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
But inside, the food is so good.
And it's all based on kind of kindness, like making their food of kindness. So I don't know if you noticed, but like the cucumbers were in heart shapes and things.
It's really attentive service and the food is mainly, we predominantly had South Indian food, didn't we?
Yeah.
But it's a mix of South Indian and North Indian food.
And vegetarian or vegan, and we had a mix of both.
So the lady said, do you mind if I just order for you? And we said, yeah. She must have ordered.
No, we said, no, we don't mind.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I don't mind. And then she bought about 10 dishes.
Oh, but to eat that now is so good.
I ate so much, and I really wanted to finish this last sort of bit that I didn't want to look rude. I actually put it in my handbag.
Yeah, Laura put a pecora?
Yeah.
In a napkin, in her handbag.
And then I didn't find it till like 2 days later.
She wondered what the smell of the Indian smell was coming from.
But, I mean, I love Indian food anyway, but yeah. I rarely have vegetarian
or vegan. Yeah.
So that's actually just off the main sort of shopping high street part of Norwich.
Yeah.
And again, it was a surprise because it's kind of like this independent kind of little hidden gem in the city.
And what was so nice about it and the whole stay here is once you finish your dinner, there's no kind of having to find your car and go down loads of traffic. We just poddled off.
Yeah, you just walk off because it is so walkable.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think they're all of our eating spots, really. So we've covered shopping, covered eating, covered the history.
We actually ran out of time. We didn't get to go here, but in terms of galleries, and for people who are interested in art and that
modern art,
then Norwich has this kind of flourishing scene.
Yeah.
So it's over at the Salisbury Centre.
Salisbury Centre, out towards the University of East Anglia, I think. Yeah. There's a huge centre there for modern art.
Yeah.
In a kind of specially made building as well that looks amazing.
Yeah, architecturally cool building.
Yeah.
And then actually in town we saw several smaller galleries.
Yeah, we did actually.
So I think also, I mean, a lot of people, I think, come to Norwich to then go on to the Norfolk Broads or to the Norfolk Beaches, which are stunning.
North Norfolk,
which is very hard to say. But actually, I think you can come for the shopping. And also, if you are interested in galleries and that side of fashion and design.
I would go for a day, probably. If I set off early, took mum, went shopping, came back in the evening, you could totally do it.
Yeah, so it's like I always associate the creative cities as sort of London and now increasingly at Bath and Bristol. But now I realise it's Norwich as well.
And throw Norwich in there as well.
Absolutely. So that was the side we didn't quite have enough time.
Nope.
Because there is so much to do there. But I kind of wish we had, because I always enjoy that.
Yeah, yeah. And also, Laura had this vision that she wanted to head to Clay Next the Sea.
Yeah, so it was missing a word that is so confusing, but it's Clay Next the Sea.
Clay Next the Sea. And that's, is it in North Norfolk?
It's heading towards it, I think.
So it was about a 50-minute drive out of the city towards the coast. Yeah. And it's a village, famed for its windmill.
Yeah.
And so we went out there as well, and it only took us 50 minutes and made me realise that actually pairing the city with then going out into
North
countryside
North
would be really, really nice.
Our parents recently went to Blakeney, which they said was gorgeous, and then you might go on again further to the Broads. So Clay by the Sea was... Clay Next the Sea was very, very photogenic. Yeah. So if you're looking for a day out, it's got this huge windmill, and if you put it into Google, that windmill is everywhere.
I haven't ruled out going for New Year next week.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Not sure yet, but we'll see.
I'd love to go to North Norfolk.
I find it so hard. North Norfolk.
Yeah.
So it's a place that's a really good pairing for a bit of downtime as well in a cottage.
Yeah, so I think you could do maybe a couple of days in Norwich and then go and do four days onwards.
But as usual, we don't plan like that, and we had to head back home, a little 2-hour drive home.
Yeah, so we went out for 50 minutes and then came straight back to 50 minutes, had a quick lunch, and then we drove in the completely opposite direction.
All the way home, which sums up all of our trips. We always do something towards the end.
Was it worth that one photograph?
I'd say so.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so cold.
So very cold. So that's Norwich in a podcast nutshell.
Yes.
What we thought would be Norwich was some sleepy, slightly backwards city.
It was
1998.
It was Catherine's 1998 Norwich.
Yeah. And this is only because we had to go on the pen pal letters of a 10-year-old.
Yes, and Alan Partridge.
However, it's completely different to what you thought it would be.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Young.
Young, because there's two universities, a huge university population there.
And
independent.
And independent, yeah, just independent. I guess when you're a city that isn't a bit further removed from kind of the south of England.
A little bit like Liverpool.
Yeah, you create your own kind of scene going on.
Your own buzz.
And I think that's what Norwich has done.
Yeah. And I think it's probably, I mean, I was kind of reading some other reviews on like the Telegraph and stuff. I think Norwich is probably taking a lot of flack.
Yeah.
But it's come out kind of trumps, because actually it's really cool.
Yeah. I loved it.
So that was winter. Winter in Norwich.
Winter in Norwich as Visit England ambassadors.
Ironically, we didn't actually see Catherine in Norwich because she doesn't live there anymore.
No, she lives in Reading.
So we went all that way and didn't even see her.
No. But that's it, yeah.
Yeah. So we hope you enjoyed that. Next podcast. We have no idea what it will be on, but it will be something more probably personal again.
I've got some ideas.
Yes, I do. Claire, I wanted to do a few, but Claire told me I'm very morbid and down.
No, I really want to do a fun one. I just want to do something fun. But I don't know what that fun is yet.
Okay, so thank you for listening.
Merry Christmas!
And have a lovely, lovely Christmas, and we'll see you next year.
Happy New Year!
Bye!
Bye!